KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Chris Fiorentino, and today we've got a little bit different type of show for you. We're going to be talking about ways in which our Fresno State Police Department is involved in service efforts as a whole and how individual members of that department are involved. We have two staff members from the Fresno State PD, so let's meet them. First, I want to welcome the manager of emergency services here at Fresno State, Miss Amy Luna. Welcome to the show, Amy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So maybe you can start us off a little quick self-introduction so the listeners know who they're listening to.
Sure. I've been with the Fresno State Police Department for 15 years, and I've served in a lot of different roles during that time. Most consistently, I act as the department's public information officer, so it's my role to make sure to ensure that our department is visible within the community, work as a spokesperson as the department, so if there's any information that anyone might need, then I speak on behalf of the department on a regular basis. Other roles include like special projects, I oversaw parking for a little while, and then I'm now doing emergency management.
So you started as a student here at Fresno State, right, Amy?
Yeah. I worked on campus in another area for several years. And then the last 6 months of being a student, I started at the police department. And when I graduated, I loved the department and what it stood for and everything. And so I found a way to stick around. And then through...
They found a way to keep you.
Yeah, they
I'm
found
sure
a way
too.
To keep me. and then through the years, I've been able to serve the department in many roles.
Because I know to one degree or another, it seems like I've been working with you for the entire 15 years.
And before that,
roles. Yeah, before that. So yeah, you've got a long and deep roots at Fresno State for sure. And next up, we also have another member of the Fresno State Police Department, Officer Ron Gaxiola. Ron, thanks for being here today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So like Amy, will you tell us a little about yourself?
That's got to be a hard introduction to follow, but that's a whole lot. I've been here, Fresno State Police Officer, just a patrolman here for 9 years.
Just a patrolman.
Just
that's
patrol.
All.
Yeah. Yes. Just a knuckle dragger. That's, you know, before that, I did 6 years out in the city of Kerman.
Okay.
Before I came over here and came over here 9 years ago, and it's been great ever since.
You a Valley native?
Yes. Been here almost my whole life. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you being here and certainly your service with Fresno State. But I do want to talk about not just the service with Fresno State, but also other ways that the PD and the two of you are involved. Amy, maybe you can start us off telling us a little bit about Fresno State Police Department in general.
Sure. Our department has definitely grown over the time that Ron and I have worked here. Currently, we have 27 sworn officers, which is just great for us and for this community. We are a 24/7 operation. Our jurisdiction is the campus property and 1 mile beyond, which that stretches pretty far if you think about each edge of our campus.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest footprint physically in the CSU system all the ag land and everything else, right?
Yeah, a total of almost 1,500 acres is our footprint, yes. And then our department is really supported by a large number of non-sworn personnel. We have a little bit over 70 staff and students that help support patrol operations.
And I remember, I don't think it was Chief Huerta, I think it was the preceding chief who would talk about the fact that these officers are regular sworn peace officers, just like Fresno PD, sheriffs, anything like that.
Yes.
So these are officers that enforce laws and rules just like any other sworn peace officer.
Yes, our officers are sworn peace officers for the state of California. We're actually considered state officers, so they do have jurisdiction in the entire state.
So we were talking before we started the show, so that area of service we're talking about, basically Fresno Street all the way out into Clovis.
Yes.
And Ashland.
Ashland.
All the way up to basically just north of Herndon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fresno State community alone, with approximately 25,000 people on campus in any given week, is like a small city. And so you've got that within another city, and then all of the interactions with Fresno PD, Clovis PD, the sheriff's office, with Highway Patrol. So there's a lot of interactions and interplay going on that you're involved with and your officers are involved with all the time.
Right. I like to say that our department is located in a little hub of police jurisdictions. And so we do have the wonderful opportunity to work with these agencies on a very regular basis, just because we border each other and we get the opportunity to work with them when the campus has large scale planned events, like at the Save Mart Center, at the football stadium, larger events like Vintage Days. We regularly work with all of these agencies just to do our normal work.
Your emergency services stuff too, just quickly, you want to talk about that? Because I know that there's a lot of planning and preparation within the campus, but also with other entities in the Valley.
Yeah, with the community. So there's several community groups that I partner with that have folks from the fire departments, from CAL FIRE, from medical services, Caltrans, Fresno PD, Clovis PD, all of those agencies. We regularly meet together, work together, plan together. And even our law enforcement agencies have opportunities to conduct trainings together to practice responding.
Yeah, some of those big interagency trainings,
right.
I know that the university has hosted before. So, and I'm sure you've been very much involved in. So a common motto that police departments are associated with everywhere is to protect and serve. And clearly, law enforcement and the safety component is key to not only Fresno State's PD, but all of the other police departments and law enforcement agencies. But that serve piece, I think it goes beyond the public safety piece, right?
Right. So that serve is definitely a part of our department's values. Our department's values are spirit, service, and solutions. And so what that service really means to our department is that we want to provide professional service that fosters trust and confidence within our community. And I think a lot of times, law enforcement officers are put in a position where they have to enforce laws, right? But a side of them that a lot of people don't get to see is that service part of how they serve their community on a daily basis, all of those kind interactions of helping the community. And so we're really excited to have the opportunity today to share about some of those experiences.
Yeah, and I think that the public perception is skewed sometimes by what we see in the media, but the reality is that the officers all over the country, hundreds of times a day, are involved in very kind and caring interactions with the public. And those are the stories that don't get out. So we're happy to kind of tell some of these really positive stories about at least what our PD is able to do. You know, there are lots of little things that your department is involved in. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about those and just in terms of the regular, for example, those other kinds of enforcement and tours and coverage area that you have, not just the campus proper and not just enforcing laws here at Fresno State.
You know, our community here at Fresno State is very important to us, but we know that this community regularly is on the perimeter of campus as well. And so we spend a lot of time investing in that community surrounding Fresno State. One of our sergeants, Sergeant Madrigal, he regularly works with the Masjid Fresno that's just south of campus on Shaw Avenue, attends their meetings regularly. We've even done trainings for their group. Officer Cornell regularly is involved with events over at El Dorado Park and Wesley Church. There at Wesley Church, they do have times where you can go prepare food and serve the community. And several of our officers and detectives have taken time out to do that. And then even with the development of Campus Point and the way that that's grown, and that's where a lot of our community spends time, we regularly do patrol checks over there. We take part in events that happen during back to school. Our officers help give away backpacks. And it was really fun on Halloween this year. Our officers took part in the trunk or treat.
Yeah.
And some of our staff members even joined in costume to just be out there and interact with the community and connect with the people. And so it was fun for us to be able to be out there and work with them.
I know another way that has become very near and dear to you, Amy, and probably to you, Ron, as well, and other officers, is the recent work for the blood drives. And I wonder if you can talk about how that relationship came to be. Certainly the connection with Fresno State PD and the blood drives goes way, way back.
Yes.
But much more so these last couple of years.
Right. So Chief Huerta always was a huge supporter of blood drives on campus. He knew how important that was and always worked to make that available to our community. That was something that was near and dear to his heart. And then in July 2018, he found himself in the hospital and in need of a double lung transplant. A month later, he was able to get that double lung transplant. And through the next year, as he was fighting for his recovery, he required several units of blood over that year, not just immediately after the transplant. So we were so honored that our on-campus partners were willing to do blood drives in his honor. So the first one that we did in September after his transplant was awesome. There was a huge turnout from the community and everyone coming out to support that need. And then this year, we were so honored that you all were willing to do an annual blood drive in memory of him and the fight that he had. And so blood donation is just very special for us because of how close it hit to home. And there's several of our officers who regularly donate. Our current interim chief, Jim Watson, he's been a regular donator for years. And several others have kind of stepped up to the plate once we experienced what happened with Chief Huerta and really understood that desperate need and how important it is to donate. So that is something that our department will forever be connected to and forever support. And we're happy to, because we know what a difference that makes when you have a loved one that needs that.
Yeah, I know that if you start talking about Chief, you're going to get very emotional, and I understand why. I want to say, in my interactions with him over the years, he was nothing but 110% supportive of service, certainly of blood drives, of any way the department could be of assistance in those kinds of efforts. And he was a fine man. You know, when we talk about gentleman and a man, he was both. Always outgoing, friendly, gregarious, and was there to help. It was the response you would normally get would, absolutely, how can we help? And just a wonderful human being. So I'm thrilled that the university can continue to offer a annual blood drive now in Chief's memory. And I know that you and other members of the PD have been really involved. Ron, I want to get you in here. You worked with Chief Huerta, correct?
Yes, I have.
I'm sure that his death hit you and your fellow officers, you know, very hard. Were you involved at all in the blood drives?
You know, everybody came out to do what they could for the blood drive when they could. Some of our officers were able to give blood, some weren't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they want to know if you have tattoos recently.
Yeah, there's all kinds of limitations the FDA puts on.
And you don't realize it until you go and see it, and they find out, yeah, there's a lot of questions. And if you're a good donor, they'll have you. They're more than willing to take you in.
Yeah, by all means. And I think the thing is even if you're not able to donate, you're out there promoting it, supporting it, and supporting those who do donate. And that's a big thing. You know, Amy talked a lot about the ways that you and your fellow officers serve through your official capacity. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, for you personally, the kinds of things that you've been involved in.
You know, when I started looking around and driving around my motorcycle patrolling the area, I realized that some of the schools within our jurisdiction, there's not a whole lot of police coverage from Fresno. Fresno PD has a lot of grounds they have to cover.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, hey, you know what? I can lend a hand at some of our schools within our jurisdiction and go help them in the mornings, especially when the kids are out there trying to get to school. So I took it upon myself on Mondays. I go to Wolters and I sit out there and I do law enforcement out there. And hopefully parents see me and slow down a lot. I do my contact with the office and they're really happy to see me out there. The kids always are really happy to see us out there too. When I have stickers, I can give them out.
Yeah.
I do the same thing over at Vinland on Tuesdays. I try to make a habit of going out there on Tuesdays when I can to help slow everything down. It's a lot tighter out there on Vinland. The design of the schools is not the best, so I can understand why parents are trying to cut corners when they can, but it's still, they've got to slow down and be safe.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that those kids out there and those parents out there, even if they don't realize you're a Fresno State Police Department member, they see somebody in uniform there trying to increase the safety around those schools. And you mentioned it, right? Fresno PD doesn't have the resources always to do those kinds of patrols. And just being out there makes a big difference.
Yeah. I do know that the Fresno police officers, they're assigned schools. So one officer will have five schools assigned to him. You know, and it's very hard to try and get around. And if I can go out there and help out a little bit, maybe you can help concentrate on some of the other schools that need a little bit more attention.
That's great. And you mentioned the other interactions you have with the school and with the kids, just those positive interactions. Those have got to be fun. You know, the kids come up and they realize, hey, police aren't that bad anyway. At least Officer G's not, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'm frequently a part of a lot of the National Night Out, the neighborhood get together they have over there at the church. I'm always out there on the motorcycle. We have electric motorcycles. So
they're pretty cool.
They're really good. They're really quiet. They're a valuable tool for what we use them for. I mean, I can go through campus and everything real quietly without disturbing anybody. The suspension is really great for going through ag lands when we need to.
Get up and go.
Yeah. But one of the more important things is there's no exhaust pipe on it. So at some of these events, I sit kids on the motorcycle so they can take pictures. And I don't have to worry about a hot exhaust touching a kid as he approaches the bike trying to see it.
Yeah.
So I felt that was a really nice feature for them because they just put it on and they take pictures with it, put the lights on for them, and they have a good time with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think those kinds of interactions go a long way to breaking down barriers and stereotypes and probably gives you a nice break from some of the other negative interactions, the law enforcement interactions you have to have.
A lot. You know, when we get calls for service and we have to deal with people, a lot of times we're not dealing with them when they're at their best.
Yeah.
You know, and they may come to regret things they said and done later, but we're the ones that have to kind of show up and see them like this, and hopefully they'll get through their hard times and move on with their lives in a more positive way.
Speaking of getting through hard times, we talked a little bit before the show, some of the interactions you had around campus, you know, homelessness is a problem all over the place, certainly in Fresno, and Fresno State's not immune to that. And you've had some interactions with some folks on campus that are homeless who you've been able to help direct to other services and really be there as opposed to just enforcing the law and kicking them off campus. Can you talk about those kinds of interactions a little bit?
You know, we do come across them frequently, and after a while you develop a rapport with them and you'll find out there's some that do want help and others that don't. The ones that want help, I do have a contact with what used to be a homeless task force. Now he's a part of the Poverillo House. And I have a phone number for him. And when we find somebody that actually genuinely needs help and wants it, I can direct them to him. And he's able to get them socks. He's able to get them services. If they want the help, he's there. He's just another tool they can use.
Yeah.
And that's all they do. That's their job. They go out there and try and help the people that to get off the streets and not be homeless anymore.
And you're giving them that option, right?
Yes.
You're presenting that options to them. You're creating that link between them and the Poverello House representative. And that's something that I think a lot of times people wouldn't think that, you know, the police are just going to harass the homeless. Well, no, clearly that's not your normal way of interacting with
them. It reminds me of a time when we actually come across a guy out in front of 7-Eleven. And the clerks had asked him to leave, but it was cold. It was cold that day, and he wasn't in too big of a hurry to leave.
Yeah.
So I talked with him and found out that he just hadn't had a meal in a while. And, you know, I went inside the store and bought him some taquitos and a cup of coffee, you know. And sure enough, there was a guy coming from across the street yelling at us for harassing him and just totally mistaking what was going on altogether. Yeah. He just started harping on us for giving him a hard time. He didn't even stop to find out that we're just trying to get him some help.
Going above and beyond.
Yeah.
You mentioned before the show an issue with one of the sergeants that had just stopped to help somebody with a tire that had fallen off their car and drove back over, got a jack, helped them jack up their car and fix their car for them.
Yeah.
That's that serve part of it.
Yeah, these are the things a lot of the officers here, we enjoy doing that stuff, especially here at the campus. I've been a police officer in a city. I mean, I know how difficult it is to find the time to do some of these things for people.
Mm-hmm.
One time there was a van stuck in the middle of the road on Cedar by Bulldog right over here. Stuck in the middle of the road, cars are going around it, and I pull up behind it, and it's a pregnant lady in a van. Van just broke down, and well, I put my lights on, I get out of the car, and I, you know, stop traffic, and we push her off the side of the road. I push her off the side of the road. Her husband eventually ran over to us from down the street, you know, with a little gas can, you know, basically ran out of gas. Then we pushed their van onto campus, and then I took him to the gas station to get some gas, and we brought it back. And they were able to start their van up.
When you're involved in those interactions,
yes,
what do you think you get out of it, right? Nobody's telling you that's something you have to do in your job.
Right.
What do you get out of that?
You know, when I first got to doing this job, I thought it was going to be all about catching the bad guy, put him away, write the reports, and move on, you know. But after a while, you start to see that some of these guys that you're chasing down, that you're running down, they're not going to change their ways until they want to, you know. And I started to find a lot more pleasure in my job just talking to the kids and talking to people and trying to steer them away.
Mm-hmm.
And helping people that actually appreciate you, that's something that I take a lot of pleasure away from my job now. You know, because when we get a call, only half the people like us, right? The people that called us, they like us.
Yeah.
The other people that they called on, they don't like us. Right. But in that instance, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's happy. And it does a lot of good to have a positive contact with police officers, not just negative ones. There's an aspect of the job that really has to be taken into account. And either some officers forget that or they're too busy to do that. But either way, I think it's a real aspect of the job they're missing out on.
Yeah. So, Amy, you talked a little bit about some of the officers that have been involved in other kinds of things. I know you've got quite a list. Maybe you talk about a few of the other examples.
Sure. Officer Polito in our department has spent time at elementary schools in the community reading to kids. You know, that's something that's important to him and his family. And so he does volunteer his time to do that. There's some things that our officers just do on their normal patrol where they find ways to serve the community differently. Officer Kudo is really good about walking through buildings and talking with people. He's here late at night, and there's not a lot of buildings open late at night.
Yeah.
So he definitely spends time in the building talking to those people that are working here, knowing that they have a friend in law enforcement, someone that will, you know, be there when they call upon them. Officer Costa does a great job during the day just working to be very visual in the center of campus. He'll often park his patrol car right next to the speaker's platform just so that everyone remembers we're here. And that it's also a quick way for him to respond because a lot of activity happens there in the core of campus. Last year, Officer Rascone, we're really proud of him. When he was off duty, he was playing golf one day and he actually ended up having to perform CPR on someone that was in his group. And, you know, after everything was over, he ended up being awarded the life-saving medal for performing CPR on another gentleman. And so we're just really love to see our officers and their passion for community service on and off the clock. And I feel like officers don't really ever turn it off, right? They're always kind of aware of what's going on and looking for ways to kind of help and serve the community.
Yeah, I think that's something that's clear. I know Officer Addison Lee was partly the impetus for the show, and he was going to be with us today, but is sick. You know, Julie had had an interaction with him, and he was talking a little about some of the service work that he does. And Julie said to me, Julie, our wonderful station manager here who makes us all just sound perfect. She's laughing behind me because she knows it. It was that interaction and hearing about his service that really prompted this show. And I think that nobody appreciates or understands the kinds of efforts that as private citizens and certainly as public servants that police department officers are involved in every single day of their lives.
Well, and I think a lot of times, too, that's not always something that catches your eye in a story, right? But at the end of the day, that's something that our officers do all day long. They're constantly protectors, right? And so they're always looking out for the community. And if they see something where the public could be in danger, they step in and try to fix that and help that, because that's what they're always thinking. Whether it's you're speeding down the road and your speeding is putting the public at risk, and so they're going to stop and try to change your behavior, or, you know, if it's something like a door left propped open, anything in that wide range, they're always looking for that and what they can do to protect the community. And to them, it's just what they do. It's how their mind works. And so they don't always tell anyone those little things that they're doing. And so it's nice to hear from officers about their perspective, the things that they do, how they're out looking for those ways to serve the community and make it a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do every day. I appreciate that. And I know many, many others do. And Amy, I know your involvement with the blood drives has been really instrumental, especially as of late, where our office has come to you to ask for a couple of special favors. Your officers have been involved. And so we really value the interaction that we have with you and the positive ways in which you and your officers are looking to serve the community. So thank you for that, certainly.
Thank you. Well, we love doing that. And with anything that's happening on campus, our goal is really to make any event successful, whether it be a blood drive or a demonstration or, you know, something like Vintage Days. We really want to make it a safe, welcoming place for the community. So we're happy to partner with you.
Yeah. And again, I think that the vast majority of the public sees those stories that are more negative, that represent such a fraction of a percentage point of the total interactions that the police are involved in, police, sheriffs, highway patrol, all other sworn peace officers. They don't see the overwhelming majority of positive interactions that happen. And that's even the officer who pulls somebody over for speeding. And yeah, they write them a ticket, but they do so in a way that is not condescending or nasty. Look, you're speeding. Yeah, I was. And I've been on that side of it. Yeah, I was. I can't get too mad about that. I got caught. My fault. You know, I don't like the ticket, but guess what? You're doing your job. And I think that we need to recognize that every day, that not just are they out there supporting and enforcing laws that keep us all safe, but they're doing so much more that we never, ever see and certainly isn't celebrated in public. So we're happy in a very small way to do just that. Unfortunately, there's not more time. I'd love to talk a little bit more about some of the other ways you're involved, but 30 minutes goes by quick. So I want to, again, thank Amy Luna and Ron Gaxiola from the Fresno State Police Department. And of course, everyone who's listening, we want to invite you to our Facebook site. It's at FS Service in Action. That's the at symbol, FS Service in Action. We're going to post some pictures and links and some other stories related to today's show there. We also want you to please join us next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.